Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry, and this is episode 10. Wow, episode 10. Really excited that we've got to episode 10, everyone. Welcome back. If this is your first time listening, then this is the podcast where I chat to different guests about being a parent. In this episode, I speak to Katie Hill, who, as well as being a mum of two, has had a long broadcast career with Blue Peter, Live and Kicking, The Chart Show, and most recently, Heart Radio. We had a brilliant natter about how she makes motherhood work and also the whole notion of the perfect mum. Does she exist? And if not, why do we aspire to be her? And why do we judge ourselves so harshly? It was a really interesting chat, so sit back and enjoy. So I'm here with Katie Hill. Yay! Welcome, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
So we're sat here in your kitchen drinking coffee,
yes,
and munching on some homemade hummus, which, yeah, you whipped up.
Don't be deceived. I am no culinary genius, but I can make hummus.
It tastes really good.
It's so easy. Like, I think that's my thing. I've always been really scared with cooking.
Right.
And then you kind of try something and you're like, actually, that's so easy. Yeah. It's a deliciously Ella recipe. But I left one garlic clove out because she suggests three. And trust me, you wouldn't want three.
It's really garlicky. But I love, yeah, that because I'm a massive garlic fan.
Amazing. So. We're just not getting any action tonight. That's fine.
Yeah, sorry, boys. So you're a mum to Kaya and Akira.
Yes.
And you've had this long, you know, career in the broadcast world, you, yeah, know, back to Blue Peter on TV, Live and Kicking,
yay,
which I love, Live,
yeah,
and Kicking.
I loved Live and Kicking.
All through my teen years, I remember just waking up and just, you know, rolling over on a Saturday morning and putting on the TV,
yeah,
and watching it.
By which point I'd been up for 3 hours rehearsing hair and makeup.
Oh my goodness, I loved it. And then, you know, more recently, Capital FM and Heart FM. It's not,
yeah,
called Heart FM anymore,
just
is it?
Just Heart, yeah.
Because FM is so old-fashioned.
No, I know. Yeah.
But you've spoken a few times about how you decided to dial down the work side of things when, mm, you had kids.
Yeah. Well, we had Kaya. I had Kaya in 2006. And at that point, I had gone straight from travelling to working at the BBC to presenting Blue Peter. And then that just springboarded into a gazillion other things. And sometimes that happens with careers. And obviously, it all snowballs into each other. But actually, you get to a point when you're like, where am I at? You know, how, not how did I get here, but I'd always wanted to have kids and I very much didn't want to have a nanny and have someone else raising them. That was just my thing. And by that point, so when I had Kaya, I was 37, I felt like I had done a gazillion careers already because Blue Peter just is relentless. It's incredible, but it was a very packed 6 years in which I did things that most people don't do during their whole life. So I sort of felt like I hadn't underachieved and I thought, you know what, I want to take time out. And we knew we were having Kaya and I was hosting a chart show at the time, Hit 40 UK, which was a lot of fun. And Trey and I had always loved LA. And then I got the call that the chart show was finishing and literally rang Trey, I remember, on Hammersmith Bridge in London. And I was like, the chart show's finishing, sobbing my heart out. And he's like, amazing. Do you have these moments in life where it's pivotal and something massive happens, and if it didn't happen, you probably trundle on the same path that you're on.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed doing a chart show, but when it came to an end, we were like, that's it. And we sold our house and we put all our stuff in storage and we moved to LA. We had Kaya and we moved to LA.
Wow.
And we lived there for 3 years, which was amazing because it meant that we moved there when she was 6 months. We just Trey worked over there and I was a mum and I loved every second. And I wouldn't have been able to achieve that here because you have got your agent ringing all the time saying this thing's come in and it would be really good. And there is the pressure that once you're at a certain point in your career in terms of broadcasting, it's not advised to stop because you just have to keep going on.
Yeah,
you know,
the momentum.
Yeah. But it's like, you know what? I wanted to prioritize life and be with Kaya. And I had an amazing 3 years, and life with a kid in LA is so easy. You know, there's blue skies and you get up and you put your flip-flops on and you walk out of the door, you know, whereas here you bundle them up and then you bundle you up and you're boiling hot before you've even left the house.
You're in
and
the
then,
rain.
Yeah, and you get rained on the way to the car. Yeah. And it's all dull and everything's set up against you. And it was the best 3 years ever. We loved every second. And I was very fortunate because it coincided with me being asked to front a toothpaste campaign, a commercial. And that happened every year for like
that.
6 years.
Yeah.
We did a new advert.
You
so that was amazing.
You've got
Thank
good
you.
Teeth.
Everyone stares at them now. It's like, oh. I remember having the meeting about the toothpaste ads. And it was really weird because you've got literally a whole table of people just staring at your teeth. And it's like,
I self-conscious.
Cannot speak.
Yeah. You put your hand in front of your mouth.
It was so weird. It was so weird.
But how amazing for you that Trey, you know, you're there on Hammersmith Bridge and you're ringing him and you're like, yeah. The chart show's finishing. How amazing that you were with somebody who could turn that into a positive.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Great, rather
yeah.
than just sinking into a hole and being like, oh, well, let's struggle on through.
It's all terrible. And I think that life does that, and I think sometimes things happen. Definitely, I think everything happens for a reason, and things happen and you're like, you know, there's no point going, oh, I wanted that to carry on forever. You just go, okay, that's a sign that I'm supposed to be doing something else, and you just run in another direction and grasp it. And for us, going to LA was the best thing we ever did, because also for me, you know, I had been solidly in media since I was 24, and having 3 years to regroup and work out who I actually was with nobody around with their preconceptions of who I was just amazing. And it, you know, being just a mum, you know, in LA when I'd be at mum and baby classes and they'd like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a mum, you know, and no one had a clue, and it was brilliant.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So then you came back here and had Akira back here, did you?
Yeah, so I got pregnant with Akira over there, and we were planning to be out there sort of probably not indefinitely, but we had green cards in the process and everything. And then I got pregnant with him and this crazy nesting kicked in, and I'm like, what are we doing over here? We're away from my family, we need to go home. And so we moved home and that was it, really. And then we had Akira here. And it's ultimately you just miss family and your amazing friends, and we had wonderful friends out there, but it does, LA does feel a little bit like a bubble. And although I miss it massively, and the weather and lifestyle suits me more than over here. But I remember when I came home and I had Akira, and I was quite low after having Akira, and Trey definitely was quite low. And it just, everything here felt set up against you. You know, it was, you'd be out and you'd ask where you could change your baby, and they'd send you to the disabled loo, and there's no flip down changer. They literally mean on the floor.
Is it quite different in America?
Oh my word, so different. Like, okay. This was before Westfield had the family changing, and over in LA, everywhere was family changing, and you know, the sidewalks were wider than the pavements here, and everything was just a bit more embracing of family life, whereas here it felt like everything was just against you. And like really hit me, which was why I started my blog, because I remember thinking, wow, you know, I don't have money worries. I've got a lovely house. I've got a great husband. And I really struggled with two. And I was just like, you know, for people with worries, it's a huge pressure, and there's just not the support there. And at the time, nobody was really saying, it's okay, sometimes it's a bit shit.
Yeah.
And so that's why I loved having a blog, was being able to feel like I'd still got a voice and could maybe encourage people in their journey, really.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So this notion of the perfect mother.
Yeah.
She doesn't exist, does she?
No, well, I think she only exists in as much as I think everyone is the perfect mother to their kid. Like, I remember doing an interview once on a panel with Siobhan from Netmums, and she just came out with this quote, which I loved. And she just said, every parent is doing the best job they can with the cards they've been dealt in life. And there's no right way of doing it. There's just your way. And what works for your family might not work for another family. And, you know, and that's fine. And I think deep down in your heart, everybody knows that as long as you're doing as good as you can for your family, that is the perfect mother.
Do you think we do know that, though? Because I don't think I know that. Like, I'm listening to you saying that, and I'm like, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
But day to day, I really beat myself up.
I beat myself about everything, though, not just parenting. I beat myself up if I feel bloated, if I didn't go to the gym, you know. Social media, I love it, but there's a whole new pressure because everyone's putting these lives online, and you know, it's easy to paint a picture that might not be the real one, you know, so it's there's even more imagery around for us.
It is tricky though, isn't it? Because I do feel like, you know, in life, it's in most of our, it's in our nature, most of us, to kind of show our best selves.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might have someone coming around to your house, you do a quick tidy.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want people just to walk in and see
you in your knicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you might, before you go out, you put some makeup on. It's kind of okay, I think, to want to show the best version of yourself.
Definitely.
But then the flip side of that, I think, whether you're talking social media or the school gate or whatever, the flip side is that people are then always seeing that shiny, polished version, aren't
totally.
They?
Totally. And I think the trouble is, I don't know necessarily that it's being a mum. I think it's just being a woman. And whilst our emancipation has been incredible, and you know, and I value everything about it, the negative of it is that we are still doing everything that our mums did, but we're doing everything else as well.
Don't even get
so nothing's
on
changed.
This.
It's like, so the workload is insane. Like, I literally had to write up on my kitchen wall. There we are. These are my kids' weeks, because it was all in my head. I knew who had what subject on what day, who needed a packed lunch on what day, and I felt like my head was going to explode.
It's the mental load, isn't
it? And it never finishes.
And I feel like, it's one of the subjects that I could talk and talk and talk, so let's not.
Because we'll get sidetracked.
Yeah, but it's something that I think about every day, and I feel like so many women are doing so much more than their male partners.
Yeah.
But I can't work out how we balance that off. And I can't work out how, as women, we have those conversations with our partners.
Because we made it happen. The trouble is, you get with someone, it's all sexy times, you've never shaved so much in your whole life. I mean, it's knackering, let's be honest, because you're like perfect the whole time. And you're like, look at me, I'm a happy homemaker. And suddenly all of the equality stuff falls out aside. And you're like, oh no, let me make dinner. Let me unload the dishwasher. Let me show you what an amazing happy homemaker I am. And before you've blinked, that is your reality.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in that, and you've got all the other stuff on top of it, and it's an enormous workload for parents and for mothers in particular. And I do just think sometimes I feel like my head is going to spin off.
Yeah, I agree.
And Trey will say to me, what, you're always rushing? Or I even walk into walls because I take corners too tight because I'm going so fast and I've got bruised shoulder the whole time. But it's like, no wonder I'm going so fast. I've got so much to do.
Yeah.
I'm a busy fool. That's what I am.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Because it's, you know, and really, who cares if the washing's not hung up, or who cares if so much of it, you know. But it's, I've read some really amazing books recently because I've had a bit of time off over the summer, and one of the things I was reading was just about how being busy is not being successful.
Yeah.
And about how millionaires and CEOs of companies are not working 24/7. They are having a nice holiday, they are having a nice life, and it is about working clever. It's not about working every single minute.
Totally. It's so interesting how in the last few years there is such kind of value attached to busyness.
Yes.
And how, whether it's a social thing, yeah, like that friend that always texts you back saying, oh, I haven't got any evenings free for another 4 months. I can't possibly make dinner plans until next February.
Yeah.
Or whether it's a work point of view of, oh, I can't have a meeting with you for another month. Or,
yes.
There's definitely
It's all
value.
Faux. Some of it is faux busy.
A lot of
I
it is
hate
faux.
It.
But it's just a case of, you know, that doesn't make you more successful or more popular just because you are busy. And I think that now there is a movement away from that, and I think that people are starting to value time and space.
Yeah, completely. And I think it all comes down to how you value success. And I'm seeing it in a weird way at the moment because my daughter's just starting secondary school and she is in the local comprehensive, which is a phenomenal school, you know, Ofsted outstanding, blah, blah, blah. But it's a state school. And some of the parents whose kids have gone to private school kind of look at us like, why has she gone to a state school? Well, she's gone to a state school because I love the ethos of state schools. I don't want them being in an environment of privilege. I want them being in an environment where they know what the world's about and where they know where they are in life. And yes, maybe they are going to learn a bit more kindness because there's people who might need a bit more help in school. And I kind of love that.
Yeah.
But it was I heard someone speaking the other week and they were saying about success and how you measure success. And, you know, the world would suggest that success is you're CEO of the company, you're working 24/7, you're making it rain. But is that success if you're on your fifth marriage and your kids hate you because they never see you? And it's not. And I took the summer off work. I did a breakfast show and I finished in July and I've had the summer off. And it's been amazing to just kind of get back to me really and think about what I want to be doing and what kind of legacy I sort of want to have in the world, because it is important. And you know, it's easy just to get tied up with being foolishly busy, as I said.
Definitely, absolutely. And it's funny though, 'cause I remember going back to the whole notion of the perfect mum. I remember chatting to you, I interviewed you a few years ago now for a magazine piece. I think it was Mother and Baby magazine.
Yeah.
And it was a feature that I wrote all about mums who were embracing being imperfect almost.
Mm.
And I remember you talking about how if you had a play date happening in your house, you tried not to be that mum who tidied up and made everything really perfect. Do you remember that? Does that
ring
a bell?
At all. I love this though.
And it really stuck with me because I felt like, you know, if I have people coming over to my house, I will spend a week tidying and cleaning.
Even this morning with you coming, I was like, why the hell would I invite anyone into my house ever? Because my cleaner comes tomorrow. Damn you. But it's I think the whole kind of image of motherhood, there's kind of people trying to make out that it's all perfect and it's all easy, and that's irritating. But then equally, and you know, we all have the days where we do the fish fingers, for want of a more obvious newsworthy topic. But I do think, talking about the perfect mum, I think there's injustice being done with people pretending their life is perfect on Instagram and showing that, oh, this is amazing, look what I just made with my child. Equally, I think there's a real, real danger on social media. There's this real dangerous movement of, I'm a shit mum. And it actually makes me really nervous. Like, I know half the time the feeds are as cultivated as a perfect feed. Just, oh, look at my washing in the background, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But the, all of that stuff I don't mind because it's kind of real life and we all have it. But there's people that I've unfollowed and they would literally put posts on saying, oh, you won't believe what my kid wankers did this morning. And it's that makes me really uncomfortable because it's not cool to be a rubbish parent. And there's this real dangerous move happening where it's supposedly cool to be a rubbish parent. And I'm surprised social services haven't been around to most of the house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
funny.
Like, it's a real dangerous trend at the moment.
It's quite interesting. And I feel, and I've said this in a previous podcast, I feel like most of us are somewhere in between those two extremes.
Totally.
You know, we have days where we're feeding them the fish fingers.
Oh, yeah, we go to the arches and I hope no one sees me. And that, but why do I hope no one sees me? Because we all do it.
Yeah.
But it's,
the arches.
I love the arches.
But, I was there last night with Grace.
Although Kieran loves burgers and I'm like, not the burgers, not the burgers.
I felt really bad.
Fish fingers.
I took my daughter and some of her friends to McDonald's yesterday for tea. It was her birthday. And I realised while we were there that it was one of my daughter's friends' first ever visit to McDonald's. And I texted the mum straight away saying, I am so sorry. I had no idea that she'd never been to McDonald's. And obviously the mum has kept her away from McDonald's. She said, well, mum says we can't go to McDonald's because it's not that healthy. And I was like, you're right, it's not healthy.
Oh my word.
You're right. And I just felt like the worst friend in the world.
No, you've opened her eyes to the world.
When I dropped her off, she was like, oh, no, it's fine because I didn't take her to McDonald's. So in the future, if you're ever asked, I can say no, because, you know, that's...
Oh my God.
It's still not something that we do as a family.
Yeah. But I like to feed my kids healthy. But I equally like them being part of society and knowing what the world's about. And so for me, I don't love the food in McDonald's, but it's fine for me for them to have it because they'll talk about it at school. And it's, you know, I never want to have the kid who takes the bag of carrots to a party. And when we lived
in
LA,
there
were a lot of parents who were that parent. And it was like, right, you've turned up with some grapes, but you could be having the cupcakes.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I just think, I think generally women just need to be more of a sisterhood and actually kinder to each other, because all the amazing friendships that I've got where we do lift each other higher and do see the great in each other, they're incredible friendships. And everybody has that mum at the school gate who makes you feel horrid. You know, I've got one at my school gate, and if I walk in, I know she's going to blank me. So I just go to the other end of the playground and get on with life. And I like to surround myself with people who get me, and I don't need that energy in my world. And I've sort of given up on trying to work out why, because I think I'm really nice. So why would you not? That's the trouble. It's like you all want to be liked by everybody.
Yeah.
And who knows why some people are a bit funny with you, but it's mad how it can really affect your day. And often I've done the school run and this person's been a bit snotty, and I literally would be in the car, and when Frozen was out, I used to sing Let It Go in the car, because I just literally had to kind of breathe it out almost.
Yeah.
You know, it really affects you.
Yeah.
It's a weird scenario.
You can send yourself mad, though, trying to work out why that person doesn't like you.
Oh, you can, completely. And you increasingly realise it's not actually to do with you, it's to do with them and things in their past. And this particular person, I know, had a friendship as a kid, and the friend moved away, and so now she gets to a certain point in friendships and then just goes weird on them, and it's a pattern.
Wow, okay.
Which I've discovered, but it's just bizarre.
Interesting. But I think you're right. I think having women around you who are supportive and lift you up. I've got this really vivid memory of having a slight meltdown about 5 years ago. I worked at Look magazine, and I was having a slight meltdown because that morning I had realised I had no milk in the fridge and no bread in the cupboard to give my two-year-old breakfast. And I felt like the worst mum in the world. And it was kind of fine, because at nursery she got breakfast anyway.
Yeah.
But she liked to have two breakfasts.
Yeah.
And I went to work and I sat next to Erica Davies, who's now a fashion blogger.
Oh yeah, she is. I love her.
I love her. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I sat next to her and I had this like meltdown, and I was just like, I just feel like I'm the worst mum, because, you know, everyone else, they're, you know, nailing breakfast. They are being, they're remembering everything. They look immaculate. They're getting to work. They're nailing work. Mm. And Erica turns to me and she said, who are you comparing yourself? Who is that person?
Yes.
And I realized in that moment that there wasn't one person that I was comparing myself
to. It's an imaginary one.
It was everyone. It was like this,
the best bit of everybody.
Yeah, I was comparing myself to every other mum in existence.
Yeah.
And no one can live up to that. And it was just a real light bulb moment where I was like, actually, the perfect mum doesn't exist.
It doesn't. I wrote a blog post last week, actually, called Run Your Own Race. And it came from in the summer, you know, the big race Mo Farah did. And everyone was sat watching it and it was incredible. And it started off and he was literally 13th for lap after lap after lap. And we were watching it going, this is going to go so wrong. This is awful. And literally the penultimate lap, he came slightly forward. And then the last lap, he just somehow turned on the turbo and annihilated the field and was God for the night, you know. And I was watching that with the kids and they laugh at me because I'm so like, positive mum, like on my kitchen mirrors, you see I've got beautiful written up, and every morning they're at breakfast they're like, yeah mum, we get it, beautiful, be you, yeah. And then I was like, oh my gosh, you saw that race. And I was like, look, he did completely his own thing, and if he'd looked at what everyone around him was doing, he'd have knackered himself out. And he knew the race he was running and he turned on the turbo when he needed it. And I sort of feel a bit like that as a woman and as a parent. It's like, if you are looking around the rest of the field and trying to keep up, you're going to wear yourself out. You know what you're doing. And it is very much, everyone's in their own lane doing their own thing.
Yeah, that's so true. Is there anything that you think we can do as mums to shift the balance and to, you know, I mean, you were saying that you don't think that talking about being a terrible mum is the answer.
Yeah.
But what can we do to shift things a bit?
Just be a bit kind to each other and ultimately be kind to yourself. You know, I did a yoga class the other day. Don't get me wrong, I've done yoga about 4 times in my life but I really enjoy it. And my teacher Lisa is phenomenal, and at the end of the class we were literally sat there doing the kind of warm down thing, and she just said, just thank your body for allowing you to do this practice this morning. And I sat there and I was like, I've never thanked my body for anything. It has got me to 46 years of age without any major hiccups. It's made 2 incredible human beings. But I'm the one who goes, oh, but the stomach could be a bit smaller or the thighs could be a bit littler. What is that all about? Like, just be kind to yourself.
We're so tough on ourselves, aren't
we? See your good bits. It is ridiculous. And we are so judgmental about everything to do with ourselves. You know, it's like, what is this bar that we're expecting to measure up to? And why have we set it for ourselves?
I read one thing. I think it was like a Pinterest quote. And it was something about, you know, you would never speak to other people in the way that you speak to yourself.
Yes.
The way you judge yourself.
Yeah.
You would never, that would make you such a terrible person.
Yeah.
So why do we do it to ourselves?
And the pressures are ludicrous. I remember when I got pregnant with Kaya, and that was really the first time I clocked how warped the world was, because I actually felt myself feeling a bit down as my waistband expanded. Mm. And I knew why it was expanding, because I was growing a person. But I was so programmed to having negative feelings whenever my body was growing outwards that even, you know, had an impact on being pregnant. And it's, what is that all about?
Mm. But that's really common though, isn't it?
Oh, wow. It was really bizarre. And then, you know, I was in Zara the other day and literally did a power grab that as a size 12 woman, I could fit into a medium.
I saw you posting that on Instagram.
I was like, what? When has that ever happened?
Especially in Zara.
Because I'm always large or not even love in Zara. Yeah, it's like, you're a dreamer.
Yeah,
and why do they do that to us?
Well, it's
because they know we'll
it's a
keep
Spanish
going back.
Brand, isn't it?
They know we'll keep going back, going, please have me. Please let me be in the gang.
Well, this is why I love Marks and Spencer's and Next, because it's quite roomy.
Yeah, and stretchy.
Yes.
But I felt that it was ridiculous, like the win that I felt, the fact that I fitted into a medium Zara.
Yeah.
What a load of nonsense. But now I've got an 11-year-old daughter and I'm massively conscious of bringing them up to be body confident, and I never talk about diets. They're never aware of diets, because I'm not really about diets. I'm about eating a healthy diet, not a diet per se.
Mm.
And I find it really hard though, if they're in the bath and I'm in the shower, which typically happens every night, and they'll go, oh, mummy, your bottom so big and wobbly, and it's really hard. You have to catch yourself so that you don't literally just go nuts.
It's really hard.
And I go, oh, that's because I'm a woman, and that's what happens. Or, mummy, your belly's really big. Well, that's because I grew you two, and you know, that's the amazing thing about bodies. And I really try and be positive, even though inside I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Like, you know, if my little one says something like, oh, you've got a really wobbly tummy,
yeah,
I'm like, yes, isn't it great?
Isn't it?
We're all different shapes and sizes, but inside I'm like, oh.
No, I know. It's really
hard.
But it's really hard as well, because equally, I want them to grow up feeling like they want to be healthy in life, and that it's healthy to have fitness in your world and look after what you eat and all of that stuff. And I realise that in my head, I often think to myself, I'm naturally a size 14. Because if I don't go to the gym and I eat what I want, I am pretty much a size 14. Mm-hmm. But actually, that's not natural, because back in the day, we'd have been cave people out, you know, we wouldn't have stopped. And this sedentary life is not natural. Yeah. So I probably am naturally a 10-12 if you put movement in my world.
Yeah.
But I somehow in my head go, oh, I'm naturally a 14, you know. But I'm actually not. I just probably don't usually get enough exercise.
Well, not now.
Weird, isn't
you were
it?
Telling me earlier that you're back.
I'm back on it.
Doing yoga.
I tell you what, I feel amazing.
Do you?
I do feel so much better, because for your headspace as well.
Yeah.
It's when I feel my muscles coming and just feel more like I can get through the day, I have so much more energy. And since I stopped at heart, actually, I have, because my alarm was 3:45. Clearly, that's just not normal. But I have been setting the alarm for 6. Because the kids get up at 7. So I get up at 6, have a cup of coffee, and do an hour's emails before they're even up.
Wow.
Because then I feel like that's more for me, because otherwise I'm resentful of when they wake up, because I feel like, oh, I've got so much to do and I can't achieve it. Whereas I feel like I've hit the ground running, and then I can be in the zone with them for the school run and then carry on with my day. But
that's
if
nice.
I don't feel like I've done that work before they wake up, I get panicked.
Yeah.
As a self-employed person, that's just how it is.
Maybe I should do that. The only problem is my daughter wakes up at 5:45 every
Shut
day.
Shut up! Why does she?
So that means I've got to get up at 4:45, Casey. I'm not sure that's going to work for me.
Although when I did heart, I did love getting up early.
Did you?
Which is so weird, because I never hit snooze. My alarm went off at 3:45. Never hit snooze. I had to get straight out of bed. I showered the night before, and then I had an hour's drive to work, which in the winter is awful because it's pitch black. But in the summer, you saw the most amazing sunrises, and it literally felt like a spiritual experience going to work. It's
every
like,
day.
I'm so lucky. This is incredible. When would you ever see this?
Yeah.
And when I left, I was like, maybe I'll keep... Nah.
Maybe not.
Don't be silly.
Okay, I've got some quick fire questions
Come
for
on.
You, Katie. What's the most incredible thing you ever did on Blue Peter?
Oh, flying with the Red Arrows.
Really?
Hands down, amazing. Yeah, it was incredible. I got to go to... Every summer they train in Cyprus at a base called RAF Akrotiri, and it's where the new pilots learn the routines. And I was going up with them, and I was the first civilian to ever fly a full display. And Clarkson had been up the week before.
Oh, really?
And had to come straight down because he was ill. So he couldn't fly with them.
Oh.
So they had to take me up on this test sortie, as they called it, and literally threw me around for half an hour. And I could feel myself going tunnel vision. And I'm like, do not pass out, because this is going to be incredible. And I had to like clench everything in my body to stop the blood rushing to my feet.
Wow.
And did a whole display. And it was amazing. And it was funny, the other week, the Red Arrows went over because we've got an airbase nearby, and they do a thing called Families Day. And they flew over the house, and the kids were so excited. And it's so weird now, because I'm like, Mummy flew in there.
Oh, like, that's so
and
cool.
And I was like telling them all about when the smoke goes on and how the pilots know when to put the smoke on and off. I'm a bit of an expert.
Have you shown them any clips? I mean, I guess it must be
no,
on YouTube.
No, that's what's so weird, because they've seen the odd bit on YouTube, and Kaya studied Mongolia at school, and I lived in Mongolia in a yurt with a family for a week. And so I got that put on DVD, and she took that in. And it was really funny, because the kids just all looked at me weird after that. They're like, why is Kaya's mummy on telly? Because I managed to kind of... And then it was the same when I did the bedtime stories. All the kids at school just looked at me.
Have you done bedtime stories?
Yeah, and they were like, why is Kaya's mummy on the telly?
On TVBs. Yeah. That's amazing.
I did like 5 stories. You go in one day and you literally record like 5, and then they just keep repeating them.
That's so cool.
Tom Hardy wasn't there the day I recorded, sadly. Yeah.
Damn it. Okay, have you ever been starstruck, and who was it with? Because you must have interviewed a few of these celebrities and met them.
Will Smith was delicious, and so how you'd imagine, and just so at the top of his game and lovely. And at the time it was funny because I was doing Live and Kicking, and you found that the people who were enormous stars were delicious. Mm. The young up and coming pop bands, not so much.
I'll bet. Who was not so good? Who was not delicious?
I remember interviewing, I think it was McFly. And they were very new, and I was on Live and Kicking, and the record company were like, oh, you've got 15 minutes. And I started the interview, and they were literally monosyllabic, didn't want to be there. And so I, after 5 minutes, went, okay, guys, thanks. And all the record company people were like flustering around going, hang on, but you've got more time. And I was like, they don't want to be here. I don't want to perpetuate the myth that they're great to be around if they're not. So
they were
let's
very
just call
young.
It a day.
They were very they young, were very young.
And
started.
They're delicious now.
Yeah.
Really sweet.
I had a really disappointing experience. My first job ever was for Top of the Pops. Mm. I worked on their website. And one of my jobs as like rookie kind of like website reporter was just to randomly approach the artists in the backstage corridor.
Oh no, horrendous. That's like the worst job on the planet.
But that's why I was doing it. Because see, they were like, yeah, let's get Alison to do that job. So I approached Victoria Beckham, who was amazing. Bono, who was...
Oh, delicious. I love Bono.
He was amazing. Robbie Williams, who was one of my heroes.
Don't tell me.
He just refused to speak to
me. No!
And I was like walking alongside him in the corridor. And I was like, oh, hey, Robbie, can I ask you a quick question? No. And I was like, oh, go on, just one quick question. Like, yeah. Really trying. Yeah. No. And I was just like, okay then, bye.
I loved you before. Yes.
I have forgiven him.
He's so sweet. I had to interview him a few times for the chart. And he was lovely. And it was funny because one time, it's all on an interview, so it's all above board. And he was like, oh, you're seeing anyone at the moment, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to go out? But it was all on mic.
He asked you out.
Yeah, and it was like, someone kill me because this is awful. Like, just it's embarrassing because it was a radio show. That's it. It was when I was at Capital. And we were doing this like live lounge type thing.
Yeah.
And there's like 50 listeners and I'm standing at the back. And then he just starts having this conversation above all these listeners. And we were live on air. Well, then, obviously, every interview I did from then on, people asked me about it.
Were you single?
No. and so then you'd be like, they'd be like, oh, hey, Robbie asked you out. And I'd be like, yeah, no, it's no big deal. Like, you know, actually, who can he go out with? He's going to always try and get someone in the media, you know, so no one can kiss and tell. But then every headline after that was like, Robbie asked me out and I turned him down, which just makes you look like a prat.
Yeah.
And it was so embarrassing. And I just wanted to say, no, honestly, I didn't say that.
I love how much our Robbie stories contrast. I was barked at and shut down by Robbie and you were asked out on a date. I think that says it all,
that's
don't you?
That's really funny.
Right. Finally...
I didn't mean to trump you.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. Yeah.
I would have chatted to you.
Finally, I want to know what's really in your bag.
Oh, Lord.
You've got it there.
I have got it here, but I haven't actually been through it. Waitrose vouchers.
Nice.
Here's a top tip with shopping. Oh, my gosh, I'm so boring. If you whore yourself around the supermarkets, as I describe it, they all send you vouchers.
Mm.
Don't be loyal to anybody because they give you nothing. But the minute you go to Sainsbury's, Waitrose will go, cooey, £20 off a £100 shop. Here's a load of vouchers.
Trying to lure you back.
But I'm a bit of an Aldi girl these days.
I do love a bit of Aldi.
Oh, I love Aldi. Well, it's the central aisle for the rummage, for the win. It's
love
like,
it.
What do I need that I didn't know I needed?
Yeah.
Keys with 1,000 key fobs, 8-hour cream. You should probably be doing this. Lip gloss, hairband. So my son's got long hair. My daughter's got long hair. I've got long hair. So hairbands are like the holy grail in this house.
Where do they go?
If you find one, put it in your hair.
Where do they go?
Where do they go? Conkers.
Oh.
It's Conker season. Yeah. And every day when we go to school, Akira's obsessed. Extra chewing gum. Always got to be green extra.
Oh.
That's my obsession.
Oh, I prefer the blue.
Oh, no. There's nothing going on. And I have to have chewing gum because... just for fear of someone coming and chatting to you and saying, that girl Katie Hill that was on the telly, she's got bad breath. Amazing, enormous purse with
everything
in.
She's got amazing teeth, but really coffee breath.
Halitosis Hill. File of facts.
Oh, excuse me. That's not just a file of facts. It is a rose gold.
How delicious is that?
Is it rose gold or is it copper?
It's rose gold.
Oh.
Copper schmopper.
Beautiful,
rose gold.
Beautiful.
If I'm honest, I write most of my stuff in my phone, but I have that just for note-taking and stuff. Training gloves from the gym, because I get blisters on my hands. Mm. Elnett, which I've been using since I was about 13.
Classic.
I love Elnett.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the content of my bag. It's not very exciting. There's usually, it's a joke among my friends, because I've normally got a random box of raisins in there. My kids don't even really like raisins. And whenever we're out with other families, the minute a kid says they're hungry, everyone's like, I'm sure Katie's got some raisins. If you want a kid not to be hungry, offer them an apple or raisins.
Yep.
Done. Job done.
Good trick. Yeah. Love it. Listen, thank you so much for being
lovely.
My guest today. It's been really, really great to chat.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add, but there really isn't. I love that you're doing these, though. It's very cool.
Yeah.
I love having a little listen. I think that's why podcasts are so popular, because I think they're a real insight into people's lives. And I feel like we all feel like everyone else's life is so different. And actually all our lives are so massively similar. It's
that's
nuts.
That's so true. We're all just people.
We're muddling along trying to get day to day, aren't we? And we all have good days and bad days. I have days as a mum when I feel like I've knocked it out of the park and I've been to Hobbycraft and look what we can make after school. And then I have other days when there was a cake sale at school and I didn't know. I'm never going to bake a cake for a cake sale. No. I'm not that mum.
I'm not that mum.
I'll give
either.
You £5. I'm not baking a cake.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much. It's been really great to chat to you.
Pleasure. Now you've got to eat more
hummus. Let's tuck in.
With extra garlic.
That hummus really was garlicky. Thanks so much for listening today. I really enjoyed recording this episode. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes, because it really helps other people discover it. And join me next time for another chit chat about parenthood.